and just looking at some of the things that are pertinent to us growing in the knowledge of God and becoming effective Christians. Our main verse has been, if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you will produce much fruit. And unfortunately for many Christians, they don't feel that they are being fruitful. They don't feel that they know God, they love God well enough, but they don't feel that they're being effective in their walk with him and in their place in the world around us. And we're really just coming back to really just discuss the subject of discipleship, because discipleship is the thing that engages us into the purposes of God. It's not, people see discipleship as a negative thing, something that people will struggle with because it means being told what to do. And we live in a world where we don't like being told what to do, especially by the pastor or God or anybody else in authority. Okay, then we live in a postmodern world where we like to kind of make our own minds up and do our own thing. But discipleship is contrary to that. Discipleship is about hearing God's instruction and following his plan. And it's most often, and I'm not saying always the case, but most often many of the pitfalls that we find ourselves in is because we've not been following the Maker's instructions. We make bad decisions, we mess things up, and then we come back to God again. And then we go through that cycle. And God is just wanting us to come back to the basics and to learn about some of the really important principles that will make us effective. So we're told that Jesus says, if you do these things that I tell you, you know, you will grow and you will learn and you will be effective. So we've been looking at the heart, first of all, and it all comes out of the heart. So that was our first step. But then we've been looking just at how we study God's word and interact with what God has got to say. And we're getting into some more practical stuff over the next couple of weeks. And this morning we're looking at what it means to be a servant. It's an odd word, servant. Those of us who live in the West particularly would see the concept of having a servant sort of weird, and not, you know, just, You know, there's a social structure there, isn't there, in terms of the rich and the poor. And then, so that makes us feel nervous about that. But the idea of having a servant probably moves a wee bit closer to the concept even of having a domestic slave, you know. And then it just kind of goes on from there. And there's a whole social, and quite rightly so, movement against human slavery. And so we're dealing with those two tensions, aren't we? We're dealing, in many ways, we're all against human slavery. And yet God says that we are to enslave ourselves to Christ. And so in slavery, from a biblical world point of view, was a kind of normal thing that they all understood. That was part of society. Not advocating it, I'm merely saying that it was there and it was easy for them to grasp the concept. But for us, it's a bit of an anathema. And so the idea of being enslaved to someone kind of is a bit of a put-off. And it's not something that we kind of promote in our evangelism. and the idea of just being subservient to higher authority just doesn't seem right anymore. And I think that's created all sorts of issues. And I'm not wanting to have a social talk this morning, but in terms of respect for those in authority, government, police, there's no longer that same respect that we had for those in authority, because we all live independently. We don't live as part of a social structure. And so the idea of servanthood, of giving our lives over to the service of someone else, is not It's not a worldview that we easily embrace. And I just want us to come back to that. We all understand what servanthood is in terms of our Christian faith, in terms of learning to love each other. But unless we actually come back to the basics, to what a servant actually means, then we may not get to the heart of the situation. And that's what I would like to try and do this morning. And I'm hoping this thing works. Is it working? Yeah, we're back on again. Technology. Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their higher officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you." We all live, it's funny, but our world is full of contradictions. In many ways, we're against hierarchy. But we're also, we live in a world where there are a lot of despots and a lot of bosses and people in charge of authority and power has gone to their head. So we're against people being oppressed, and yet in our workplace, in our society, in terms of human relationships, oppression can run, at least emotionally, can run wild. And we are just, you know, we're kind of in this complex arena of human rights. And yet we're all under the control of something or someone. And the world has a particular way of governing itself. And Jesus comes along and he kind of turns it upside down. And he says, "I'm going to show you another way to govern. I'm going to show you another way to lead." It's interesting that the term leadership is very, very rarely used in the Bible. It depends what version you read, but probably about 6 or 9 instances in the whole of the Bible of actual leadership. But the word servant is probably 1,000 times or more. And that's, I'm not making a theology out of that. I just think it's an incredible fact that God is wanting us to learn to lay our lives down for one another and learn to serve one another. And we do have a very romantic idea of servanthood. And that romantic idea is when it suits us and we get a lot of good feedback from it. you know, everybody's like, "Ah, you did a great job." But servanthood, you know, Jesus says, you know, that real servants, you know, when they make dinner for the master and clean up, they don't expect any thanks. You know, they just start another day. Okay, then. I can feel Debbie having a word with me later on this subject. But anyway, we're going to press on with this. "Not so with you," says Jesus. "We don't lord it over one another." And I love that. I love that phrase from the master. "Not so with you." It's something about it of saying, guys, we're going to try another way because that other way doesn't work. And I know I'm going to, we're talking about servanthood, so we're kind of against, but there's two things at play here. There's oppressiveness of the world, which we're against, but by throwing off the shackles of that and throwing off the oppression of sort of despotic rule, we're also in danger of throwing away this amazing theology called servanthood. You see, because we've kind of tied them up together. And it's not about, and I'm trying to use now modern language so we get it, but it's not slavery in the oppressive sense that we understand that we're trying to hold on to. It's slavery in terms of commitment and obedience and faithfulness. There's a lovely example in the Old Testament where if people fell into hard times and they wanted, and they eventually fell into slavery because to just provide for their family. And so at the end of every 50 years, and we'll be aware of that, at the end of every 50 years, especially in the land of Israel, it was the year of Jubilee. And so everybody, at the end of 50 years, it doesn't matter whether you bought a slave for 5 years or 10 years, in the 50th year, all slaves were to be set free. Everybody was to be set free. All debt was to be cleared off. Didn't matter. Debt was to be wiped out. Slavery was there. It was just a year of freedom. But if there was a slave in a master's household, and he liked working for that person, and he was treated well, and it was a joy for him to serve, he would come to the master, and he would say, I don't want to leave you. I want to be part of what's going on here. And that just seems weird to us. You get your freedom here. What's wrong with you? And he says, no, I don't want to do that. The Bible says that master was to take that person and they were to pierce their ear to the door of the house with an awl, just right in there. And he gave his life voluntarily. We're all familiar with the song, Pierce My Ear, O Lord. But that's where that phrase comes from. David cries out, pierce my ear. And there's a voluntary thing that comes forward. God doesn't enforce slavery, but he calls us to be servant, and it's out of our own volition and choice. And when that happens, it's liberating. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so here we have the essence of Christianity, the overthrowing of hellish rule by a commitment to serve one another and to give our lives to each other. Jesus says, if you love one another, so if you want to be my disciples, I beg your pardon, then you will love one another. And he's saying the expression of your faith has to be worked out practically. Don't just come to church and sing songs. Don't do that. Don't just pretend to be a Christian and then go about your business for the rest of the week. But take on the form of a servant. We'll come back to that later when Paul writes that amazing epistle to the Philippians. And he says, if you want an example of this, then look to Jesus who gave his life. When we learn to serve one another, and we're going to have a real hard look at what servanthood means. When we start to look at what that means, it gets harder and harder. We've moved away. I love reading, and I love reading the monastics, the people who, and I'm not saying that we all hide away from the world, but people of old knew how to surrender their lives for the cause of something greater. And our highest motive in life needs to learn to serve the master. So Jesus says you need to learn to become servants. And the biblical word for that is doulos, which we might be familiar with, which means to bind up and to enslave. And this is the hard bit about it, because we're all on a social mission at the moment to abolish slavery. And yet Jesus is calling us back into it. And it's just like, you know, is he messing with our heads here? I mean, what's Jesus doing to us? We know that slavery, in terms of human oppression, is fundamentally wrong. And we don't have to read very far in the Bible to know that this is not about oppression, it's about freedom. And yet Jesus is teaching us something. See, slavery is not slavery when we choose to commit our life to that thing. when we volunteer for it. It's only when it's enforced upon us. It originally meant the lowest, it was the lowest structure of society. Giving your will up in preference for somebody else's will. Learning to take orders. It flies in the face of who we are. It does, I know that, and I struggle with it myself. Many of us are wanting to sit readily at God's table of worship, but not prepared to go into his fields of service. And real worship is demonstrated not just by the words that come out of our mouths, but out of our actions and how we serve one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Spurgeon says that he is no Christian who does not seek to serve others and to serve his God. So what does servanthood look like for those of us who have lost our way a little bit? And oh, it's so easy to lose our way. Father, you move into ministry. You get a microphone, you know, a position in church. And you know what? Life is crazy at the moment, isn't it? Life is relentlessly demanding. And sometimes we become so self-consumed in trying to mend our own nets that we forget to look out of the window to the vast need that is around us. So what does serving actually mean in biblical terms? Well, it means looking out for those of us, for those who are struggling. And you think that's easy, but it's not that easy. Because we all walk around, honestly, we're so stressed out of our nards with stuff that's going on in our own worlds that it's so easy to take our eyes off the ball. And this is the amazing, liberating thing about Jesus. Actually, when we learn to serve each other and we forget about ourselves, then he seek first the kingdom of God and the other things will be done and added to you. So not obeying Jesus in the discipline of servanthood means that we're becoming more self-consumed and less dependent on God. So we hand our lives and our own issues over to God so that we can serve others. And that has a liberating effect. Just asking beyond the superficial, how are you? I ask somebody, how are you? And then you kind of, like, 2 minutes at you, kind of regret that because they're honest with you. They're like, oh, my goodness. I didn't mean that. I meant, what's the weather like? Can we just pull back here? And another thing that we're really rubbish at is just listening, aren't we? Rubbish at really caring and really listening. Empathy, what a fantastic word that is. Having empathy. I'm not just talking about a household of God. I'm talking about those around us, our elderly neighbours, and just, you know, letting people out, you know, just, you know, we're so impatient in the roads, isn't there? And if somebody dithering in front of us, you know, horns are fantastic. They're a curse. Okay, then. It's just like, you know, we no patience anymore. You know, I have been beat for letting people out. I have let somebody out. I've been doing the good thing, and I've been beat for holding somebody up behind me. Putting others' needs before our own. But, you know, Lord, I'm tired. I'm busy. I've got some, you know, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. You know, in the household of God, it is our problem. It really, really is our problem. Because if one part's hurting, we're all eventually going to end up hurting. So looking after each other is a fundamental mandate that's been given by the Master. To learn to look after. How can you say you love God, who you cannot see, if you can't love your brother, who you don't see? And I know that we all like to say, of course I love, you know, I love people, you know, I'm a Christian. But how does that love present itself in really practical terms, both in service in the church and outside these four walls? Church ministry and in terms of function is getting harder and harder. I mean, I came in this morning and there was about eight guys setting up. I mean, obviously, when you're in a school like this and you don't have your own building, it's extra work, a lot of extra work. Have you been down under that stage? There's people who have gone down there and have never come back out. Okay, then. Honestly, they're just like, they were members like 15 years ago and they just went down there and they've never seen them again. Okay. But it's hard work, and these guys come in and they set up and they do all of that, you know. And servanthood is just learning to say, you know, I'd come in a half an hour early and putting the chairs out. It really is doing that, being here early and just welcoming our guests. Because when our guests, sometimes the church looks a little bit early because everybody's underneath there. It looks as if there's no one here, but they're all under there. Okay, then. But actually just coming here as a ministry to say hello to our guests. Choosing to spend time with someone. This is a hard one. I'm going to get sacked for this one. I'm not actually that good at it myself, to be honest with you. Choosing to spend time with people we don't naturally get on well with. But that's really hard. Sometimes I feel bad about this. And I think to myself, I really ought to just go and have a coffee with this person. This person drives me nuts, okay? And I'm going to have a coffee with them, so I meet up with them. And within about 2 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, how do I get out of this? Hope my phone rings. And I'm looking for an emergency at this stage. And that's just, I'm a bad pastor. But servanthood is actually seeing beyond that person's presentation and looking at the heart of the need that's inside that shell, that talkative person, that person that's just crying out for attention, that person that's not listening. And inside that is a person with just amazing needs. And the same creativity and love and power that God looks in you is exactly equal to that person that's sitting in front of you that's annoying you. And remember that if you find that person annoying, the chances are you're equally annoying to somebody else. Yeah. So servanthood is just learning to stand back and maybe laugh at yourself a little bit. Visiting people who are lonely and marginalized. Looking around the church. I'm going to do this, okay? Right, everybody have a wee stand up, okay? Just have a stand up, okay? I'm not asking you going to do it in frightening here, I promise you. I'm just going to ask you to turn around, okay? Just have a look at people. Don't say anything, okay then? But just have a look at people. And think about people you may have not went, you don't know so well. Just quick glance. Don't look too long because it can be a bit creepy. Okay then, just have a look there. Okay, this is the family of God. Yeah, you can sit down now. Okay, now there was a wee exercise there. Just have a moment of what do we do with that? Who do we look at? Okay then, and so there's a kind of social sort of spatial thing there, you know. Something like that, you know. I didn't ask you to go and shake hands with MD or give MD a hug, okay then. But there's a kind of thing there of boundaries And we protect our little space in our world. And sometimes, in order for us to be the church that God wants us to, we have to step out of that space. And we have to go and say hello to somebody that we've never spoken to before. In fact, if we've come to church and the only person that we've spoken to, people that we've spoken to, are the people that we like or get on well with, then we've not really done church. Because church is about reaching out and just, yeah. You know those nights, I've moved up from Gloucester to York, and it's Baltic up here. It's, honestly, think of these poor guys that live in Edinburgh. I mean, yeah, you get climatized. And quite frankly, I don't like going out anymore. It's too cold. It's freezing. And sometimes you just have to kind of make time for people and go and visit people and just say, do you know, do you fancy a coffee? And go out and reach out to someone. Just meeting and praying with people. Just offering words of care for people. Greater love has no one than this, and if he lays down his life for another. It's a million miles away, isn't it, from where we are when we don't like going out because it's cold. Bill Johnson says, if you view God as your servant, he will continually frustrate you. But if you begin to understand yourself as his servant, you will constantly be in awe of him. Pierce my ear, O God. Learning to be the servant. In humility, consider others better than yourselves, Paul says. Be kind and compassionate to one another, he says in another letter. Francis of Assisi says, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you will find yourself doing the impossible. And for some of us, it might just be little baby steps. Texting someone, look around. Not just, I ask you to look around and see who's here, but do you know what might have been a good exercise? Looking around and seeing who's not here. And sending those people a text, or picking up the phone and saying, we missed you today. Are you okay? Do you fancy meeting up for a coffee? Servants serve without being asked. They serve without expectation. You know, we say, oh, I'm not doing that again. You know, they're not very grateful. But that was never Jesus' attitude, was it? He just went, not just the second mile and the third mile, but he went all the way to the cross. Serve without complaining. That's a hard one, because we all like to be noticed, don't we? And we all like to get our Blue Peter badge. Yeah. And nobody said thank you, so that's the end of that ministry. Okay then. But just in there. Serve with perseverance. Serving without prejudice. Serving with humility. Some people think that you can't influence people unless you're behind the mic. But there's a million things we can all do. Just being positive to one another, encouraging one another, saying thank you to one another, helping one another. A spirit-filled atmosphere comes out of where we are in God. And when we come to church, we're carrying something of the essence and the aroma of Christ. You can be quiet as a mouse in church and yet still have the fragrance of Jesus. because there's something just about you that just is incredibly attractive, because you just look at people with the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of Jesus. And so we just have to be able to learn to ask ourselves, what can I do today? If every one of us got into the habit of doing one act of kindness every day, and that habit just becomes part of our life, then it will be life-changing. It really will. Writing a card to someone, picking up the phone, just putting money in an envelope for someone. You don't even have to put your name on it. And just saying, do you know what? You're doing an amazing job. And I just want to say thank you. Have lunch on me. Helping people in this world of business and distraction has to start with being intentional. It's not something that comes by being passive. But one act a day we have to start with. And then it will become part of who we are. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be that of the same of Jesus, who surrendered his glory, became a man even unto death, death on the cross. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself in human likeness. Sorry, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human form, being found as the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. We cannot lead unless we learn to serve. And so I just ask us this morning, as we conclude our talk, that we just get into the habit of just doing it, just finding a way, looking out from the cages of our own self-interest and seeing a world of hurt and need. And learning to care and to ask the right questions and make time for people. And learning to pick up boxes and knock on doors and say, are you okay? Do you need any shopping? Can I help you? And just making that happen. And when we do that, the world will rise, the church will rise to a whole new level of testimony and prosperity. And the power of God will begin to flow through us. So guys, can I just say in conclusion, find what it is God wants you to do and do it with kindness. God bless.